Two major events took place this week that might change the way we go about the most basic element of business, paying for what we buy. Apple created a media frenzy about its new Apple Pay wireless transaction service, while PayPal announced that for the first time it would accept Bitcoin as a method of payment. But what do these developments really mean? Are we edging towards that futuristic idea of a cashless society? And will a digital currency like Bitcoin ever become mainstream? We're joined by Fergal Murray, founder of the Bitfin Conference, a conference which brought together digital currency experts and financial regulators. And also I'm joined by Peter Oakes, a former director of the Central Bank. You're both very welcome to the programme. First of all, to you, Fergal, when I think of money, I am a big fan of a crinkled 5 euro note. I'm even a bigger fan of a crinkled 50. But are these very dramatic changes taking place in the whole concept of money and how we use it?
I think changes are taking place. I think that we've seen the rise of digital currencies or digital payment networks like PayPal over the last 10 years. People like the idea of cash and being able to make fast, easy, anonymous payments for things. But also the existing financial system and the way that banks transfer money between them is based on very, very old technology. It's the financial services industry is probably the only area that hasn't been affected by the internet. Every other industry has radically changed in the way we share, communicate, transfer information around the world. So I think that everybody recognizes that the entire financial system is due for an upgrade, and it's starting to happen now.
Peter, Bitcoin, it's been in the headlines for quite some time. It has grown internationally, but it's also been a source of huge controversy. It has, to a certain extent, been associated with people using it for illegal purposes because it gives them a certain anonymity, a little bit like cash in its own way. I mean, is it something that has suffered some, you know, damage to its reputation and that might set it back as a currency option?
Well, it's probably suffered reputational damage, but no more than what maybe the crinkled 5 euro note or the 50 euro note in your back pocket has. You want to think about what the police forces do when they test huge banknotes for traces of cocaine, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, with Bitcoin, I think, A, it's controversial because it's outside the mainstream. It's controversial because the currency isn't backed by a central counterparty, like, say, a central bank, the ECB. And because of that, we don't know enough about it. There is a lack of consumer trust. And we had quite a big episode in the States where a business called Silk Road went down and it was up to all sorts of nefarious activity. But one of the forms of currency that was utilized to buy goods and services through Silk Road was indeed Bitcoin, but so were other forms of for money. So in that respect, I guess you could say, look, like anything else, it's experienced controversy. But I think you need to look at it in the wider digital currency piece. And this is my particular interest is the innovative technology that goes to support things like Bitcoin. And just very welcomingly, just as recently on the 11th of September, the Bank of England released two very good papers talking about the future of digital currencies. And indeed even came out to say that it is likely one day that money could exist without a central counterparty like a Bank of England. Now, they say right now the risk of that, not the risk of it, but that's not going to happen overnight. But I think what's very interesting is they talk about Bitcoin and digital currencies, not just through this financial crime spectrum, the money laundering spectrum that a lot of regulators do. They're looking at it more fundamentally, the most important aspect, which is monetary stability, i.e. things like inflation and financial stability, the use of payment systems. And there are a lot of benefit of these digital currencies. Recently, I made a small purchase here in Ireland. And the cost of the transaction fee was 20 times, sorry, the cost of the transaction the fee was 20 times lower than what it would have been had I used a standard bank debit or Visa card. And that's where these digital currencies, which actually just aren't currencies alone.
That's where they have an advantage.
Yeah,
really.
They're also a payment system. And I just say, in terms of the Irish government, don't forget we're coming up to E-Day in 6 days where the government's going to stop accepting and issuing checks in relation to businesses. So
yes,
Ireland's part of that drive.
And I want to come to that in a moment. Fergal, just sticking with Bitcoin. An interesting example, a businessman, one of the guys on Dragon's Den, Peter Casey, has a business in Atlanta. He told me a story, he wrote about it in the newspaper, that his company got a technology virus, and the virus had a message with it which basically said, we will unlock this if you pay $300, not a huge amount of money, $300 equivalent in Bitcoin.
Yep.
He got IT specialists, he couldn't unlock it, he paid the money and it went through on Bitcoin. Now, you could say that cash can be used in that way, but not across international boundaries. I mean, these guys are only collecting $300. If they got that off 10,000 businesses around the world, it's a whole other proposition, isn't it?
I think you're right.